Thank you, welcome. We are honored to be again sponsoring the Beit Midrash Shiurim in loving memory of our beloved daughters, Beth Sharon Samuels, Bat Sheva Rafaela, Bat Zacharia Halevi, Nitachana, and Dr. Ronalyn Samuels of from Rachalea Bat Zacharia Halevi, Nitachana. Rabbi Avraham Lieberman is a Torah educator and an expert in Jewish history and a well-known lecturer. He has published extensively in the area of the Masorah of Tanakh and published a book of Talmudic commentaries from the Cairo Geniza to Masechet Shabbat. He currently is a member of the Judaic study staff at Shalhevet High School in Los Angeles. He received smicha from Rabbi Tova Goldstein, Zecher Livracha, at Yeshivat Emet Halacha, and completed the course load for PhD degree at Bernard Revel Graduate School for Jewish Studies at Yeshiva University. He held the position of Judaic Studies Principal at Shulamit High School for Girls in Brooklyn, New York, and Head of School at Eula Girls High School in Los Angeles. Rabbi Lieberman has taught Judaic Studies at Yeshiva University and Touro College, New York. Please join me in welcoming Rabbi Lieberman.
Thank you so much. I hope you can all hear me. Join me on a 45-minute journey, or maybe 40 minutes now, because I do have to end on time, in what we have entitled, working so hard here at the OU West Coast, to come up with a perfect title for this particular amazing get-together, Raising Yaakov and Esav, the Ideal Children. And there's a little play on words maybe there, but this is the Tanakh track. So there's a chapter of Tanakh I hope to learn with you together and somehow begin to understand what is it that's involved in raising children. And the difficulty in putting this entire short presentation together with you, because I want to learn with you, I'm not here to make a speech. And if you do have to say something, you're more than welcome to participate, pull out, ask a question, not that I will necessarily have the answer. But if we study Tanakh, and we look through Tanakh for certain particular lessons, and we do approach Tanakh with the idea Tanakh is God-given, this is the book of instructions. How and where do I see raising children? And the answer is you really don't. Maybe a little bit of a glimpse here and there. What you see are parents praying for children. That you see. So where do I look for children? And again, Torah, whatever you want to call it, Bible, whatever word works better for you. Superficially, on the outset, there's a very strange book to use as a guide. Because when we meet the first set of children, one is called Cain, the other one is called Hevel, and that story did not end well. So what guidance do I get there? Was there a parental failure on part of Adam and Chava, where raising children, okay, we're not going there. We're trying to aim for Yaakov and Esav. And then just keep on, what we do today, like skim right through it. Where do we meet children and what are children doing? Next time I meet a child, I'm not even sure of the identity because Torah has couched it in a way where Noah wakes up from his drunken stupor and he realizes that B'no HaKatan, his smallest child, whatever that means, and you can look at the Mefarshim right there, has done something to him. And that was quite violent too in the way it was displayed. So where do I look for children and how to raise them? Do I look at the Shvatim who were just recovered last week? Finally, the brothers have gotten back together. After wanting to kill, we'll settle on selling. Like, was this a massive failure of raising them? put all the stuff into a child, and at the end of the day, it's up to Mazel. Raising children is the hard. Oh no! You know what? Leave the Bible, Rabbi. Go to the Book of the Prophets. Okay, so let's go to David HaMelech. Okay, I see your heads understood the hint. I don't even have to explain. Imagine the anguish. On the other hand, you can think of it as in our own personal domain. A child is the greatest gift we get from God. I'm here, it's a memory of children that were lost. That pain is unbearable. These are diamonds that we get, they're diamonds in the rough, and we have them for a few years. And for those few years, we try to raise them, put them in a world of something, and make them strong and loving and understanding. And sometimes you put in packages of love, and it doesn't work. So what do we do? So is there a way somehow to look at some lessons where we do get a little bit of something? Now, I would love to throw out a phrase and get from some of you a tiny little answer. Okay, have you heard of the phrase of Tsar Gidul Bani? Tsar spelled Tzadi Ayin Resh. Not Tsar, tight, but Tsar. Have you heard of that phrase? Have you experienced Tsar Gidul Bani?
Yes.
Okay, if I will give you a blank piece of paper and say to you, only in bullet points, not in the actual book, many of you in this room can write, and maybe some of you more than one volume, and you would entitle this book, My Experience with Tsar Gidul Bani, The Pain of Raising Children. Does anyone want to give me a definition that has 12 words or less?
Teenager.
A one-word perfect answer. Teenagers. Okay. It's like, what do I do? It's like you're thinking, which I look for? I look in this book for guidance. I look in this book for everything. And then when I look for raising children, what do I see? I see, when I get to Mishle, the notion of Shema b'ni Musar Avicha, Al Titosh Torat Imecha. It's both parents. Listen to the parents. And it could very well be to the... This is making me distracted, you know, put this on. But as parents, if you think about it, there is like a model. It might not be perfect, but there's mom and dad. Mom, without a doubt, is the heart, the warmth, the emotion. Dad is that straight, intellectual. And of course, we work with the mind and we work with the heart, and you want to fuse the heart and mind together. And that's what we try as parents. There's always like the cop, the straight guy, and then there's like mom you can run to. And of course, children know how to play both of you. Okay, but mom said, and mom never said, and we know what it is. You think of, like, where do I go? And what do I do? So let's begin learning, because there's lots of sources and not much time. So if you open up your handbook, page one is literally Tsar Gidul Bani. So if you look at page one, even though it's not numbered, in the curse, the Kala, if you want, that Hashem bestows upon men, women, and snakes. At the beginning of time, after that first chait, the Isha is told, Harbe, Arbe, Etzionim. Harbe, Arbe will be your sorrow. Rashi, quoting the Gemara, and you can look it up. I didn't want to bother. There was Rashi, and the source is right there. Rashi on those words say, Ze Tsar Gidul Banim. At the beginning of creation, part of the package we receive as parents, in addition to the gift of children, is Tsar Gidul Bani. It's built into the system. If there's anyone here who says, I raised a child, I never had to do a thing. I left home. I left the child right there. I came back at the age of 18, and my child was the most amazing, perfect robot. No parent can ever say that. But I want to show you a little bit of an amazing insight. And Rashi gives us this insight. So if you travel down now to the next text, which is the Gemara on Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Bet, just look at the underlined words. In the laws of setting up a Sanhedrin, who should we have sitting as the 71 sages in the highest court of the Jewish people? The Rambam has a long list of, you have to be Gadol Batorah, B'chachmah, you have to know languages, sciences, you have to know everything. But we will not put on the Sanhedrin, if you look at the underlined words at the bottom of that first little paragraph, Ein Moshivim B'Sanhedrin, and help me out the next word, which is, we don't put all people on the Sanhedrin. Or goes on to a Sarius who's not able to have children, or someone who's able to have children, but chooses Umishain Lobani. Someone who has not raised children is not placed on the Sanhedrin. Why not? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, what is an older person? He has raised children. But Sheshachach Kvar Tsar Gidul Banim. He forgot what he went through to raise that child. If you forget what it is, and it goes on, and there's no rachamim anymore. If you haven't gone through that pain, or you've gone through it, but you now said, genug, that was it. I totally forgot that. Or you can't anymore understand human nature. Part of and parcel of what makes us human beings that are able to function is to internalize the pain that we've gone through in raising children. To internalize the fact that we have put and given part of ourselves into a child, that is super important. But follow me to the next Mara, which is also in Sanhedrin, a few dapim earlier, daf yutet amud bet. There, if you notice, it begins with the bracket on the second line. There's a pasuk from Yeshayahu Anavi where it says, Ko Amar Hashem to Bet Yaakov, or Beis Yaakov, or the house of Jacob, Ashe Pada et Avraham. Somehow, Yaakov Pada, redeemed Avraham. What does that mean? So the Gemara asks immediately, V'hichechan matzinu, where do we find Be Yaakov that he was Pode Avraham? What did Yaakov do that somehow made Abraham's life easier? He redeemed him. He got him out of something. It sounds like Abraham was supposed to do something. Yaakov did something and saved Abraham from something. So the answer is, Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, you know what? Shepaduhu mitzar gidul banim. What did Yaakov do? He saved Abraham, tzar gidul banim. Oh, Hashem is saying, what do you mean he forgot? Well, remember Abraham's raising children? Abraham has no children. Finally, he has a child. And he invests everything in this child called Ishmael. And then one day, angels appear. Sarah can't believe it. She'll have children. And who's born? Yitzchak is around. Now he's got two kids. And Yitzhak grows up, and Abraham makes him a party on the day when he no longer is a little kid. And on that day, Vateres Sarah. Sarah sees, what does this Ishmael do? Mitzachek. Whatever Mitzachek means. And you can study that, that's another 45 minutes. But it was not something nice. He wasn't playing Lego with him. It was Mitzachek. So what does she say? Out. Drive the child out. Totally incorrect in today's world. Drive that child out. Not only him, his mother too. Vayera hadavar ve'ena Avraham me'od. It bothered him, it bothered him, it bothered him. Hashem shows up. Listen to your wife. Listen to your wife. They have to go. That's not painful. What is all this? What do you mean it's not with the, he was Pode, Abraham. And you can think of other things. To get a tzivui one day about the child that you invested so much into, and Hashem says, offer him to me, bring him as a karban olah, hold the al-kedah. I think that was pretty serious. But let's leave those questions alone a little bit and look at the Rashi. Rashi explains what is this redeeming of Tsar of Gidul Panim. Rashi says, Shehutal alav Torah Hashvatim. Al Abraham haya mutal oto Torah. That tircha of raising 12 children should have been Abraham's responsibility. He should have had the Shvatim. He was given a bracha. You will have many children you will raise. And Abraham did not. And who did that? Yaakov redeemed him from that responsibility. If you look at the bottom of the page, Tosfos jumped in and jumps right in and he says, Perush HaKunturus, Rashi wrote, it was the Tzar Gidul Yud Bet Shvatim. That's what Rashi said. Kunturus is a reference to Rashi. And he says, Velona Hira. Well, this makes no sense. Chada, you know why? De'enu Tzar Ela Simcha. Raising children is a simcha. Kedia Rinan, and it quotes an entire different Mara, we're having children, or maybe male children. Maybe that's what that chazal means. So what's the answer here? And then he goes on, it's not right, because Abraham indeed, if you think, had how many children?
Eight.
Correct. Six from
Keturah.
So yes, you vote Abraham towards the end of the page there. Hayu Obanim Mikturah. But Tzarich Lomar, so what is his answer? You know what Tzar Gidul Banim he saved him from? Tzar Shel Yosef, Ve'echav, Ve'gilgul Yiridat Mitzrayim. The pain that Yaakov had in raising him. That's what he saved him from. It wasn't the number of children. It had to do with the actual Tzar Gidul Banim. One can only envision, as we read last week's parsha, when Yaakov finally is united with Yosef and all the Shvatim, and we finally have the family together under one safe roof. I look around the room and I see, thank God, many of us have families and children and grandchildren, and they're all across the world. How special those moments are, and few between sometimes when everyone's under one roof. When mom is the one who usually gets the depth of all that. Dad makes the arrangements, and mom cooks the food. And in between all that, that's what Tzar Gidul Banim brings at the end of the day. So now, turn the page, and I've provided a little room on the side for you if you actually want to take notes. Let's go through a text, examine it, and if you have any questions, please. So, see where the arrow is. We'll be learning an entire, almost parak here. And one very important concept when you're learning Tanakh, and we all know this, but it's worth repeating, and that is, look at the amount of space allotted to what that particular narrative is speaking about. The Akeda, if you remember, is given to us in 19 Sugim. 19 Sugim. Vayigash at the beginning of how to play this entire game and get the brothers to realize something. But it happened earlier because Yehuda's speech was so powerful. That was 17 Sukkim. The story of Migdal Babel is 11 Sukkim. Finding a Shirach, if you remember, when Eved Avram goes to look, 67 Sukkim. Finding a Shirach is hard. That you have to describe in more terminology. But Torah is amazing. And look at what it does here. Ve'ele tolod Yitzchak ben Abraham. Let's go through the psukim and join me on the journey. Avraham holded et Yitzchak. strange phrase, Avram gave birth to Yitzchak, that would have been a miracle. And that's not what it means. Holid is part of the beginning of what we call Tzar Gidulonim. He's the one who puts into him who he is. As the Mefarshim explained, when they looked at Yitzchak, they were able to understand in a minute, that must be Avraham's son. And then we're told, Vahi Yitzchak ben Arba'im Shana, he's 40 years old, Bekachto ed Rivka, this girl that finally came here, Bat Betuel Ha'arami, watch the long discussion here. Who is she? Rivka, Bat Betuel, which Betuel? Ha'arami, Bipadan Aram, Achot Lavan, Ha'arami, put all that in parentheses or just like cut it out? Lola Isha, because we know all this from earlier. Why is it here? So again, it's the Yichus. It's the lineage. Looking into someone, where are they from? Who's getting married to whom? What will be the challenges if you marry someone from a very different culture? And of course, what happens? And notice how beautifully the Pasuk is set up. Vayatar Yitzchak Lashem, very difficult word, it means to really plead, to entreat, to beg. Lenochach ishto, opposite his wife, meaning facing her, in its simple meaning. Ki akarahi, for she cannot have children. So here, we're not into Matzar Gidul Banim yet. And what raising is there? She cannot have children. And Hashem pays back to this listening Vayatar, lo Yitzchak. So Hashem answers Yitzchak back, that entreatment is accepted. And Vatahar Rivka Ishto. Now how old is he when he got married? 40. How old is he when his wife conceives? I don't know yet. And then suddenly she is with child, and in a very difficult word, Vaitratatsu Habanim Berkirba. Translate that first word in its simplest pshat meaning.
Struggle.
So what will be the shorish then? So if you're into what we call languages, Hebrew, if you play the bilateral root game, this is rot. If it's the triliteral, then it's ratat. Ratat means they're smashed. Either way, there's an Olympic race in this embryo here. Who said banim? She just vatahar. But we're being told. Hashem's giving it to us before she knows. The children are running around. This is a violent, violent pregnancy. Vatomer, and she says, Im kein lama ze anochi. Literally begging to die. Why did I want this? I don't want this. I'd rather die. Vatelech lidrosh et Hashem. She went to inquire of Hashem. And the Mefarshim here, so interesting, each one from their perspective. Who is it that she's going to? Because next door, why not ask her own husband? What's going on here? But she's not asking her own husband. By Taylor, she goes somewhere. Some say she went to Abraham. Most famous, like Rashi quotes, it was shame. Still alive. Who's giving her the answer? Or others say, if you note the next pasuk, Vayomer Hashem lo, and Hashem said to her, Avram ben Arambam, the great commentator, the son of the Rambam, Avram ben Arambam, an amazing human being, writes, she had nevuah here. She's no less a neviah than who else already had prophecy? Hagar, Sarah. In fact, Bereshit Rabbah teaches that all the imaot had nevuah, therefore extending the number of seven neviot to a larger number. So what is told to her somehow or directly? Shnei goyim bevidneich. Not shnei yiladim. You're carrying two nations. Whoa, responsibility. And you should know, Ushnei le'umim imaraki paredu. They will separate and be great nations. This isn't like a little city. These will be powerful nations. And ul'om, like mi'am la'am mi'amot. Nation to nation will share the power. As Chazal point out, when Yaakov is ruling, Esav is low. And when Esav is ruling, Yaakov is low. And then, V'rav Yavod Tzair, the elder will serve the young. What would you do with this? No advice here on raising children. Just realize on your shoulder now rests the responsibility. You'll be raising two nations. Va'imala'u yameh ha'laledet, and she carries the full term. Vihine, as we already knew from earlier, tomim bevitna. Okay, oh, now they know. Boom. There are twins here. Vayetze harishon, and you can read this in a number of ways, but let's read it simply. Vayetze harishon admoni, put the comma there. Kulo kaderet sayar, covered totally like a coat of hair. Vayikru'u shemo esa. What does that mean? So what does Jar look like? He comes out admoni, totally ruddish, reddish in color. And what's this hair doing here? In fact, the description in the Targum Yonatan and Samid Rashim have Esav looking, and that's the word. Esav is like a Su, finished, like a little humanoid. A little kid born, it looks like an old man already. He's all done. He even has, the Midrash says, his upper molars, which made nursing kind of interesting. And this child, look at him, he's reddish. What is he? Scary looking. And therefore, who names him? In its simplest meaning, Vayikru. Everybody, anyone looked at a child and said, oh, whoa, he's done. Esav, Asu, finished. So you look at that child, what are you thinking? How will I raise this child? But in this birthing process, V'achrichen Yatza Achiv, his brother's coming out. How? V'yado, just use the imagery. Ochezet be'ekev Esav. He's holding on the heel. Vayikra Shemo Yaakov. So who's the Vayikra here? It's not her and it's not everybody. Throw out any answer and one Mefarshim will have said it. Is it the Father? Is it Hashem? And here we're told, and notice how beautifully the story was woven, and only now you find out, V'yitzchak ben shishim shana v'ledet otam. This was 20 years. 20 years of being married and begging and wanting and doing whatever could be done to have children. And then here are the psukim that we should concentrate on. Va'idalu hanarim, and his children are growing up. Vahi Esav, ish yodea tzaid isadeh. And what is Esav? He's an Ishmael. Yodea tzaid. He knows how to trap. And I'm assuming animals so far. Issadeh, he's a man of the field. He's an outdoors person. V'yakov, yeah, positional vav here. V'yakov ishtam, Yoshev Bahalim. In its simplest meaning, what is an ishtam?
Simple man.
What's a simple man? And don't tell me the Haggadah shall pass up tam.
Pure?
That's not what it is. Tam. Pure, give me another word, shalem. Torah Hashem is Torah Tamima. It's complete, it's full. Here's a, so at this point, I stop right here. Was there a process of raising them until this point where now one decided he's going to be the weapons person and go out and trap and hunt, and the other one is Yoshev Ohalim? What is Yoshev Oelavit Shuto? Okay, let it hang, we'll come to it. And then another very revealing pasuk. Vayahav Yitzchak et Esav, and Yitzchak loved Esav. That is what is written.
Kitzayid
Befiv. Its simplest meaning, because he brings him food. Befiv is Befiv Shel Yitzchak. He gets amazing, good 48 inch steaks. V'rivka ohevet et Yaakov. Rivka, on the other hand, and notice the verb usage. Vayahav Yitzchak et Esav. Why? Ki tzayid b'fiv. Well, there's no tzayid b'fiv. It's like the Mishnah Pirkei Avot of Ahava HaTluya B'davar. Batla ha-davar, batla ha-avar. On the other hand, Rivka, of Hevel of Yaakov. Why? Doesn't even tell you. So again, the beauty of the words of how Torah is set up, everything right there, and then you begin to see what's going on. So we'll come back to these two psukim in a minute. Let's finish off the story by Azed Yaakov Nazid, Vayavo Esav Min HaSadeh. So one day, excuse the noise, what is Yaakov doing? He's doing the Nazid. What is, like Azed Yaakov Nazid in the simplest translation, he's cooking a cooking. No idea what. He's making something. Vayavo Esav Min HaSadeh, and Esav is coming from where the Isadeh is, Vahu Ayev. He's very tired. Vayomer Esav El Yaakov, and Esav tells Yaakov, you all remember this word, Haliteinina Min HaAdom HaAdom HaZeh. Translate, please, for me, Halitena. What is Halitena? It is what we call a hepax legomenon. If you're not familiar with the phrase, I love it. What is a hepax legomenon? It's the words that Rashi and Ibn Ezra once and they say about his words. Mila ve'en la chaver. It's a word, but it has no friends. Hepax legomenon is a word that appears once. How many such words are in Tanakh is a machloket rishonim. It ranges from like a 90-something to like almost 1,000. But okay, the book of Iyov, you should know, has the most. Haliteinina, you cannot translate it to English. Rashi has no other option here but to go to a cognate in the Mishnah where the Mishnah describes how you force-feed animals. For those of you who might remember living on a farm 4,000 years ago, and you took certain, usually fowl, and you stuffed them up. You opened up their beak, you took food, you shoved it down their throat, and you took a stick or some implement, and haliteini na is a way of saying, in one word, feed me as much food as you can feed me, as much as goes down my throat, immediately. And the word na here is not lachot lashon bakasha. This is not please. Na is the other meaning, which is
now.
Haliteini na. There's a word in Yiddish, I cannot use that word in public ever or ever, anywhere, that basically translates this word literally. Haliteini na. Give me. And notice, he's not even, whatever you got there. It's it might be paint, you know? What are you giving me? Ki ayef anochi. Al Kain Torah parenthetically, prophetically says, Karashmo Edom. He one day will be called Edom. Vayoma Yaakov, and here is Yaakov, the Ish Tam. Michrach Hayom et Bechorat Kali. Sell me your birthright. Sell me your birthright. Whoa, how smart this child is. Vayoma Esav. Of course, you know, I know the whole don't, you know, involved with the mafia. Oh, I'm going to die. Lamazeli b'chora, who needs it? Vayomer Yaakov, okay, good. But he shavali kayom, swear to me. It's a real business transaction. I want it in writing. I want it notarized. Vayishavalo, and he swears it to him. Vayimkoret b'choratolo Yaakov. And he sells it. And this obviously leads into whatever follows. V'Yaakov, to be fair, Natan, l'Esav, and now we hear what the food was. Hey, gives him lechem, unezid adashim, v'yochal, v'yesht, v'yakam, v'yele, v'yvez, Esav et habachora. Let's read that again and watch the vavs, how beautiful they are. V'Yaakov, Natan, l'Esav, lechem, unezid adashim, v'yochal, he ate, v'yesht, he drank. Vayakam, he got up. Vayelech, and he went. Vayivez, and he embarrassed. Who did Esav? What did he embarrass? The Bechora. Now, you all might remember, like I do so well, second grade Rebbe, and you all remember this, if you're 4,000 years as I am. Because the Rebbe said, Vayochal, and he ate, without making a bracha. Vayesh, and he drank, without making a bracha on the drink. Vayakam, and he got up without Benjamin, oh, you had my same Rebbe. And he left without kissing the mezuzah. And therefore said the Rebbe, Vaiveze Sabed Abachor. I see an old classmate of mine. We shared some of those painful moments. Right? How are you? Okay. So now, what happened here? How exactly did this? What does that do with raising parents? Esav goes that way. The Netziv beautifully writes, going back to the Pesukim earlier, and a number of times in Bereshit, that the relationship between Rivka and Yitzchak was not the relationship between Avraham and Sarah. The communication was not there. They didn't communicate. Very different world. That's the Netziv who picks up on that. But let's go back. And now turn the page for just a second, because I'll ask you soon to turn to the other page. And notice, in the middle, you'll have a 1, 2, and 3. There's much that's underlined here. I'll leave some of it to look yourselves. Yoshev Ahalim, in its simplest meaning, means a shepherd. Okay, not in the Ohel of Shame and Aver, that's Chazan. It means a shepherd. So Yaakov is a shepherd. He's a complete, perfect person. He learns from, from youth to care. Yaakov is a very caring person. The minute you become a shepherd, you are responsible not just for yourself. On the other hand, the brother's the opposite. He's the trapper, he's the hunter. He does not care. And personalities begin to develop. But look at Rashi, where the number one is. By the Luhanarim, and Rashi says, and maybe for the sake of time I'll condense it, as long as children are young, you can't really tell what their personalities will be based on their actions. If they act violent, if that third grader brings a water gun to school, it doesn't mean that in high school he'll come with the real gun. But maybe he does. You can't really tell. But ain't adam medakdek b'hem. Parents don't pay attention. As if to say, you want to raise a great child? Pay attention from the beginning. See where they are. V'lohel, therefore, but, kevan she'nasu b'nei bar mitzvah age, this one went that way, and this one went the other way. What do you do? I just remembered a cute joke, also from the same Rebbe. If you all remember the Rashi earlier here, when she is carrying these twins, they're all like, and Rashi, quoting the Midrash, says every time she passed the house of Avodah Zarah, Esav Mefareches, he's like breaking through the embryo to go out, and then when they pass the Bet Midrash, Yaakov wants to go out. They asked the Rebbe, because he said he heard it from his Rebbe, and his Rebbe heard it from his Rebbe, but I don't think it went back to Har Sinai. I don't understand, he says, that Gemara Masech HaNidah tells us that for the 9 months the baby's in the embryo, a malach is learning Torah with him. So that Esav wants to get out of class, I get it. He passes by whatever, he's running. Yaakov was learning with the malach. What is he running that for? Said the Rebbe, they didn't want to be in the same class. Okay, so that's also a lesson there. And then, look at just the other two Rashis very quickly. Issadeh, and what is this Tzayid here? And you can look at the one on the bottom too, we'll combine the two Rashis. That Esav didn't only trap, wasn't only tricky at trapping animals and a great hunter. He was able to lay traps for human beings in the way they spoke. He was able to fool his father. And how many times our children are able to fool us? And how do you raise that perfect child? And the answer is a lot of tzar kidul banim and a lot of disappointment. But that's the way it is. I turn the page to the last page. And I apologize for the darkened picture of Rav Hirsch, but you can make out, I think that is Rav Hirsch. Yeah. And let's read Rav Hirsch's amazing comments. They happen to be famous. But it pays reading them. I would say Rav Hirsch was super prophetic. He was an amazing educator. You should know Rav Hirsch's grandfather, Rav Moshe Frankfurt, already had a high school for girls in Frankfurt in the 1700s, okay, before Sarashner. Anyway, Vayigdalu Hanarim, says Rav Hirsch, our sages never hesitate to point out to us the errors and shortcomings, both great and small, of our forefathers, and precisely thus they make Torah great and glorious, heightening its instructiveness for us. What's the entire purpose of all these narratives in Bereshit? Well, we can paint them wonderful with colors and say they're perfect people. That's not what we're doing. Our verse 2, an observation made by our sages, indicates that the sharp contrast between the grandsons of Avram was caused not only by their natural tendencies, but by mistakes in their upbringing. As long as they were little, like Rashi just said, no one paid attention to the differences in their hidden natures. They were given the same upbringing, the same education. Their parents overlooked the cardinal principle, again back to Mishle, Chanoch l'na'ara kidarka. Raise every child according to his derech. Each child should be guided in accordance with the path intended especially for him and for her. The path that suits the qualities, tendencies latent in the depths of his personality, which you can only uncover really early on. And thus should be educated both as a man and a Jew. Of course we know, the Jewish great task is one to do what? To develop human character. That we're all the same. So when the sons of Yaakov gathered to hear their father's blessing in this week's Parsha, and he visualized them in the future as tribes of Israel, he saw not only Kohanim and teachers of the law. Not everyone was sitting and learning in Kol and being a Rosh Yeshiva. Standing around him was the tribe of Levim, the tribe of kingships, the tribe of merchants, the tribe of farmers, warriors. Standing before his eyes was the whole nation with all its manifold characteristics and diverse way of development. And he blessed them all, and the Torah says at the end, Ish asher kebirchato beirachotam. Each one was blessed according to his own special quality. And therefore the covenant that God established with Abraham is intended for a healthy, whole, and vital nation. The purpose of the covenant is to build a complete national life. And therefore, skipping to the next paragraph, because we're almost out of time, precisely for this reason, each child must be brought up al pi darko, educated with this one great goal, but then if you skip to the next line, to educate a Yaakov and an Esav together in the same classroom, with the same routines, in the same manner, to raise them both for a life of study and contemplation, will ruin one of them. And therefore, next paragraph, had Yitzchak and Rivka delved deeply into Esav nature, and had they asked themselves at an early stage how even an Esav could be harnessed for God's service, then the future Gibor would not have been a Gibor Tzaid, but it would have been a Gibor Lifnei Hashem. And you can read the rest on its own. The difficulty in the Tzaki Dulbanim in raising a perfect Yaakov and Esav will never be so. No one's got the solution. But I'll tell you what absolutely works all the time, is love your children. Love and love, no matter what mistakes they make, no matter what they do. I'm in the business of educating Jewish children, and I deal with parents for longer than I would admit in public, and surely not in front of this mic. But I can tell you, parents struggle and cry and invest and pay lots of money. Hopefully, everything will fall into place. But what always is missing sometimes, and that changes the entire equation, is love. Accept your children as they are. Accept them, love them, and just empower them. If you see one is a great artist, and he's got talent in area X, and the other child cannot sing for the life of him, like me, then something else to do on it, and help them, and be there. And we hope with Hashem's help, like the Navi prophesizes, the day will come where Veheshiv Lev Avot Al Banim, and the opposite, and together we should all be zochei together with our children and our children's children to be mekabel panei Mashiach tzedkeinu b'mehru. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.